So yeah, I'm the liturgist at our church. I usually wear a robe and someone follows me with a gong. I'm just kidding. It's not the case. But I did bring a prayer. I wanted to practice with you guys. We do something called call and response prayer. This helps us to just really center ourselves, posture ourselves in a place of listening and engaging with the Spirit. So I believe the prayer is going to be up here. So I'll be the liturgist. And if you could respond out loud as a church, I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to get into the word. All right. So Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you made yourself vulnerable to heartbreak, mockery, shame, and rejection, to death on the cross. Open and accessible to us. Teach us today what it means to be like you. Soften and unravel us, that we would experience belonging in your house and open our doors to the world longing for home. Let's pray. If you could bow your heads with me. Holy Spirit, come minister to us. Lord, I sense your spirit here, so warm, as Stephanie said, so gracious. So God, before anything, would you just help us to recognize your presence here? Whatever defenses we came in here, whatever layers we brought in, Lord, right now, would you help us to just unfurl that? We just want to be open before you, God. Would our hearts be just tender soil to hear you, Lord? Because more than anything, God, our longing is to be with you and to be with your people. So God, we just recognize you here. Lord, you will sow the seeds that need to be sown. So we just receive it, God. And we say yes to what you're doing. In your precious son's name we pray. Amen. Man, this is just a side note. I feel like so ministered to be here. It's such a gift. During worship, I was like, I kind of forgot while I was here what I was here for. I was like, oh yeah, I need to speak. But it's such a gift to be here. And I love the series that Pastor Mickey designed because it kind of takes this like nebulous aching that we all experience and he gives it some grip and some practical ways to practice it. And so if you look at mission statements of churches, my church included, a lot of them are saying what? You belong here. At Echo Church, it's belong and become. Here at 99, you guys are the home of the rebels and the runaways. And I love that. People who feel misunderstood, lost, you can find a home here. But I wonder if there are some of us here who have that kind of question, that little whisper that comes up, you know, when you're in the quiet of your room of like, do I really belong here? I wonder if there's some of you guys who say, oh, that person belongs more than me, or do I really find a place here? You might find that friendly fellowship and happiness dulls that ache a bit. But do you really feel accepted here? So the question I want to ask today, and the pain that I want to touch on today, is you can belong somewhere and to someone, but still feel deeply disconnected and alone. So in the Genesis story, we see Adam and Eve belonged to the Garden of Eden, and they enjoyed the manifest presence and communion of God. But they experienced profound disconnection when they hid themselves from God due to their sin, shame, and guilt. So Genesis 3, 8 through 10, it reads, "When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. And God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid.'" So, like Adam and Eve, we can be tailor-made for a place, for a person, belong wholly to someone and to a community, but still experience the pain of loneliness and disconnection. 99 could be the answer to your prayers, the home church you've been looking for, but you can find yourself wanting here. You can find the perfect spouse, the perfect community group, but still wonder if you truly belong and if you're truly accepted. We experience profound disconnection when we ourselves begin to hide due to fear, shame, and guilt, or when we experience the distance that others hide from us. So when I was in college, I had a season when I tried to be like mysterious. I know that sounds really uncool, but so I attended UCSD. Any fellow Tritons in the house? No one. Okay. Well, let me explain. So there's a main library. It's called Geisel Library, and there's 8 floors to it. And each floor, as you go up, it shows like levels of seriousness and studiousness. So let's say like main floor is like party time. You know, you go to hang out with your friends, you share snacks. You know, second floor is like group time, you know, group project kind of situation. You get what I'm saying. So by the time you get to like 7th, 8th floor, that's like PhD grad students. They're like solving cancer up there, okay? So you can't even like breathe or like open a snack. People will be like, you need to leave. You're not, you don't belong here. So anyways, during my time at UCSD, between classes, I would go straight to the 7th floor and I would bump into people and they'd be like, where are you going? I'd be like, ah, go to the 7th floor. And you know, that was like a cue. They're like, oh, she's serious. And I was like, I'm serious. But what was I doing up there? I was sleeping and I was hiding. I was literally hiding from people because I was so afraid of bumping into someone from my on-campus ministry and feeling like that sense of like, oh, is there going to be a place for me at that table? I don't know. So it was easier for me to just avoid it completely and go straight to the 7th floor and just daydream. I would literally just look out the window and just question, what am I doing? So because I wasn't sure if I actually belonged, it was better to hide physically. And some of us hide, maybe not physically, but we do this. We don't engage. We don't intentionally build friendships. Some of us hide in plain sight, remaining opaque and keeping people at a distance. So we've either hidden ourselves or we've been hidden from, and we've experienced that disconnection when that happens. When do you find yourself hiding? So why do we hide? For me, underneath this attempt to be cool and mysterious was that fear of being found out that I was lonely and uncool. But even underneath that, my core fear was this. What if you get close enough to see that I'm actually not worth loving? Ooh. Like Adam and Eve, we hide from God and from one another, even from ourselves, because the thought of being fully seen and fully known and then found to be unworthy of love would devastate us. So hiding is a great defense mechanism from the fear of rejection, shame, and guilt. But in the safety of our defenses, we forego the connection and the intimacy that we long to have. So C.S. Lewis famously wrote, "There is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable." So this week's practice of cultivating belonging is vulnerability. Vulnerability is the practice that brings us out of that hiding and cultivates the connection that we so long to experience. So the word vulnerable has its roots in Latin for the word wound. So the word itself means to expose ourselves, to be wounded. It's the act of unfurling our defenses and exposing our weaknesses so that we can be accepted as we are, the good, bad, and the ugly, and not who we want to be, who we are right now. And vulnerability is so much easier said than done, because to maintain vulnerability, in relationships requires this continual willingness to be wounded and to expose those dark, crusty parts of us. So it's funny when Mickey tasked me with vulnerability, I was like, yes, but then also, no, because my husband and I, we're celebrating 10 years this year in September. Woohoo! And we had this moment of disconnection, and I was like, man, damn, I still experience this. So we had this moment where, you know, we have two little kids, we work a lot, we were just so busy. Weekends are packed full of, like, kids' birthday parties, work dinners, all these things, and we felt like ships passing. And I found myself, like, feeling like I wanted to withdraw. So I'm withdrawing, I'm closing up, because I'm like, ugh. He seems fine. He seems like he's dandy. Like, things are great for him. Why am I so needy? So I'm like, I'm a cool wife. I don't need him. I'm fine. I don't need affection. And so we finally got to a place where we're like, we got to address this. And so, you know, we're addressing it and I'm getting all angry and he's like, okay, well, let's schedule date nights. Let's do this. And I'm like, no. And like, you know, like we're trying to point and solve and make solutions. And there's this fat wound that's just like aching on the tip of my tongue and I don't want to cry and I don't want to bring it up. And we're just like missing each other, even in this conversation. And finally, I just let down my guard and my defenses. And I said, you know what? I'm just really embarrassed because I know that you love me, but I need to be reminded. And I feel really needy, but I really just miss you. And it's hard for me to admit that. And boom, everything, all the misunderstandings that we had just started to dissolve away. And that connection was regained. And so I say this to say, it's still hard for me, even with someone who has vowed his loyalty and affection to me and I to him, it's still hard to be vulnerable to one another. And so full disclosure, I'm still practicing that. You're practicing that. We're doing this together. But have you ever gotten into an argument like this? Maybe with your spouse or maybe with your friend, maybe even someone here. You're skirting around, you're trying to find the solution, you're you know, pointing at everything, but on the inside, you're really hiding what's hurting. So does anyone watch K-dramas here? No, any K-drama stands? These days, I'm like, oh my God, just tell them. Just tell that person. And what I realize is K-dramas are fueled by people hiding themselves. Healthy love makes boring television. It would be done in 30 minutes, not 12 episodes. So here are some really simple ways to invite and practice vulnerability. One, if you've been wanting to get to know someone, maybe here, just tell them, hey, I wanted to hear your story. Can we grab some coffee? Second, if you're scared to share something hard or scary, just tell that person, hey, this is really hard for me to say. Can I share something vulnerable with you? Most times, people are really receptive to that. And if you want to experience the connection and the belonging that you so desire, you have to put your defenses down and come out of hiding. But there is a caveat, because vulnerability is high risk, high reward. Like Lewis writes, you can only experience love in so much as you make yourself vulnerable. But by doing so, you will open yourself to the reality of being wounded. So for example, you might go out on a limb and ask someone out and they say no. You might tell your friend an embarrassing story and they judge you. I'm sure he wouldn't do this, but you might tell Pastor Mickey your name and your life story and he forgets who you are. You might begin to trust someone and then you learned they've talked about you behind your back. And these are small examples of ways that we try to be vulnerable and experience the pain of not being accepted that drive us back into hiding. There are very real, very painful experiences that make hiding feel justified. But this is where the gospel of Christ makes a profound difference in the way that we love in vulnerability. How the gospel of Christ empowers us to stay vulnerable and to belong to one another, even when it hurts. Because I promise you, be here long enough, it will hurt. So do you guys want to know what that is? Yes. So have you ever wondered what the difference between worldly vulnerability is and Christian vulnerability? I'm going to tell you, we need vision. So worldly vulnerability is internal. I accept myself. It is what it is. You either accept it or you don't. But the goal is connection. Christian vulnerability is expansive. It's actually part of our calling. So our vision for why we practice vulnerability is actually not based on other people's acceptance or rejection of who we are, or even acceptance of ourselves. Our vision of why we can be vulnerable is actually anchored in God's acceptance, and because it's one of the ways we live out the Christ life. So follow me here. If our goal of being vulnerable is just to cultivate belonging, it's going to work, but it's also going to feel like death by a thousand cuts. The end goal for us being vulnerable is not belonging, but rather it's one of the ways that we live full and connected lives, but it's also to be faithful to Jesus and formed in his likeness. So theologian Stanley Auerhouse says this so powerfully. He says, Christian community is not primarily about togetherness. It is about the way of Jesus Christ with those whom he calls to himself. It is about disciplining our wants and our needs in congruence with a true story, which gives us the resources to live truthful lives. In living out the story together, togetherness happens, but only as a byproduct of the main project of trying to be faithful to Jesus. So fear of rejection drives us back into hiding and self-protectiveness, but faith in God's redemption allows us to live out the calling in us as individuals and as the church. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve forgo connection and they hide because of fear. But in another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus remains connected, vulnerable, and obedient because of faith. You and I, we are a called people to connection and Christ-likeness. So hear me when I say this. Showing up fully as yourself, as God made you, being vulnerable and open, is so that God's light can pour out of your whole being, weaknesses, brokenness, and all. It's how you live out your calling of being a disciple of Jesus. And it's a testimony. Vulnerability is a testimony to the ways that God has affirmed, accepted, and adored us while we were still sinners, and even now. And so I shared earlier about how I used to hide in college. And, you know, it's funny. I still think it's ironic, but I lead the welcoming department at our church. And I still hide sometimes. This is full disclosure. Don't tell anyone at my church. But there are still some Sundays where I hide because it's scary. It's still scary to be vulnerable and to show up. And so every Sunday, it's like my prayer and my testimony to God. Like, God, I really, really want to accept and welcome your people because I know I'm accepted and welcomed in this house. So that's my testimony to God, is you've accepted me and I can come out of hiding. And I'm still doing that to this day. So Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So we can be vulnerable and open our wounds to connect, because by his wounds we are healed. Wasn't that good? I was really proud of myself when I came up with it. Just say yes. So vulnerability, the ability to live open and unhidden lives, is the mark of someone who has truly accepted God's grace, and they live in the faith that they are loved. And it's the way that we show that grace and acceptance and faith to others. So, how can we be vulnerable as an expression of faith to God and to one another. So another word for vulnerability is confession. We can do that right now. So I'm going to give you guys two practices for this week and for, I guess, the rest of your lives. So we can live vulnerably and in faith by confessing to God and to one another. So the first, confess to God. Like Jesus in the garden, we confess to God. And when we confess to God, we are in faith, trusting that he hears us and he heals us. We stop hiding and we stop trying to fix ourselves before coming to him and instead come directly to him. Psalm 32:5 says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." So do you find that you hide from God? Do you find that you try to polish yourself or you try to do things before coming to God? As we pray, it's not actually informing God of what we've been up to. God knows it. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when God asks, "Where are you?" to Adam and Eve, he knows where Adam is. He is asking so that Adam can respond. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam hides. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is honest before God. Jesus goes to God and cries, and he's scared. He doesn't want to do this. But he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." God wants us to bring ourselves before him. So when we pray, we can tell him what we're feeling. And that's how we practice vulnerability with God. So some of my prayers are like, "God, I'm so embarrassed. I keep trying to do this on my own, but I don't know how to do this. I'm scared that I might not be a good leader or a good wife or a good mom. I'm scared." And sometimes, most of the time, those are my prayers to God. The second practice we can do to practice vulnerability is to confess to one another. Henry Nouwen, one of my absolute favorite authors and theologians, he writes, "Community is the fruit born through shared brokenness, and intimacy is the fruit that grows through touching one another's wounds." So this is one of the ways the church becomes a space of belonging. Every week, we have a chance to come together and confess our weaknesses before God and to one another. I want to share an example of this at our church. So we have a member at our church who is like super healthy, super buff, kind of like Joseph here. He was like, you know, really active. And then all of a sudden, he just started to get really sick for no reason. The doctors couldn't figure out why. And we just started to see him fade away. And it was really heartbreaking. And we didn't really know what to do. Because, you know, when you're speaking to someone with chronic illness, chronic pain, we're kind of like, I don't know how to handle this. And he himself was starting to disengage and really fade away in our community. And there was one Sunday where we actually wanted to practice confession. And so we asked everyone, we're going to do that today, by the way. But we did this thing where we're like, turn to your neighbor and just share something that you're dealing with. Maybe share a weakness, whatever you feel comfortable with, just share what's burdening you. And he finally shared, and he started to say, like, you know, I was really embarrassed. I didn't know how to ask people for help. And he didn't want to feel like a burden to people. And he started to invite people in. And this happened, I want to say, like 3 months ago. Every Sunday, including probably this Sunday, a group of people come around him in the sanctuary and just lay hands. And you know what's so beautiful is nothing has changed. He hasn't gotten healed. The doctors still don't know what's going on, but his countenance is completely changed. He is engaged. He is inviting people in, and the church actually feels invited to pray alongside him. And I know when he gets healed, the whole church, we're going to have a party. So side note, you got to invite people in. If you don't share, No one's going to know. No one can read your mind. So what would it look like to invite others into your brokenness and into your weakness? James 5:16 says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. That's a common practice, he's saying. So soon, again, I'm going to ask you guys to turn and share. So just prepare yourselves. But before that, I want to give you guys some different ways to practice vulnerability, not just here, but in your community groups and then with your trusted loved ones. Because there are layers to vulnerability. Even Jesus, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he brought his disciples, but then he pulled three more disciples deeper in, and then even still, he was truly vulnerable before God. So there's layers to it. And so I'm going to borrow some language from my pastor, Pastor Brian. He says it like this. Here in this room, you invite people to your porch. Nobody here wants to be in your bedroom. There are some people you invite to your kitchen, some people you invite into your living room, and very, very, very few people you invite into your bedroom. So vulnerability is a practice. Not everyone can handle everything, and we don't also want to throw our pearls to swine. We also want to protect ourselves and use wisdom and discernment. So we practice that. So what does inviting someone to your porch look like? That looks like, I'm struggling with gossip. I gossiped about this person, I slandered about them to someone else. Inviting someone into your kitchen or your living room might look like, you know, I was really annoyed by them because I think I was triggered and I really wanted to vent to someone. And honestly, I kind of wanted you to be on my side because, I don't know, X, Y, and Z. And then inviting someone deeper into your bedroom, it could be like, you know, I was afraid what she said was true. I'm actually worried that I'm not a good person or a good leader, and I think that really stems from, you know, this childhood pain that I had. So imagine those different levels. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to turn and invite each other to our porch and share your need to one another, as much or as little as you want. And as you do this, I guarantee that you will experience connection and belonging in this house. Why? Because it's not based on that other person. It's based on the shared experience of confessing our weaknesses before God and one another so that we can be healed and so that we can live into our calling to be a home for the rebels and the runaways, the lost and the weary. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Holy Spirit, we thank you, God. We thank you that you made yourself accessible to us before we even knew it. So Holy Spirit, we recognize your presence here. Would you help us, God? It can be so hard and so scary to open ourselves to one another. But Lord, in an act of faith, I ask that your spirit would just rest on us and that we would be able to share the things that are on our hearts, the things that are heavy in our chest, so that we could experience your healing in this house of God. And Lord, as we do so, as we practice this, not only in this room, but in our friend groups, in our families, in our relationships, in our friendships, Lord, in all of it, that we would become more and more like you. You who came and you who made yourself vulnerable before us. You made yourself vulnerable on the cross. You made yourself vulnerable to rejection and mockery and shame. And you took it upon your very body so that we could be healed, God. So Lord, we just want to live out into the faith, even when we're trembling, so that your life can pour out of all the cracks in us, Lord. All the weakness, Lord. Lord, it says in your scriptures, for when we are weak, you are strong. So God, we boast in our weakness. Lord, we boast in our weakness, Lord. And Lord, I just pray prophetically over this church, Lord, that your connection, your belonging. It would be a kingdom anchored belonging that anyone who walks through this room, this church, God, they would experience just a supernatural experience of your grace and your healing and your wholeness. But Lord, start with us, God. Start right now. Start with us even in the innermost parts of us, God. We open ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, help us to remove the layers, to help us come out of hiding, because we long for communion with you and with one another.